join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is When God is Challenged by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
And when you make up your mind that you want to please God, God will defend you. So Hezekiah knew that he was a man that pleased God. God already favored him. He knew he was walking in favor of God. Now he knew he walked in favor of God because God sent the prophet Isaiah and said, listen, make sure your insurance paid up. Make sure you got a living will. Amen. Make sure you gave them the procedures for how you want your royal funeral, because you're going to die and not live. And Isaiah told him, and he was leaving the palace. And before he left the property, the courts of the palace, God said, go back. Go back. I changed my mind. Why did God change his mind? Because Hezekiah turned his face to the wall when he heard that he was going to die. And he turned it and he said, God, you know how I've served you. You know how my heart has been changed. You know, God, that I love you. And God added 15 years onto his life. Oh, there's a scripture that says, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. So he was walking in the favor of God. So now when Sennacherib comes and says, hey, you next in line. We're going to conquer you like we conquered these other nations. We're going to make you our subjects like we made these other nations. The first thing that Hezekiah does, he goes before the people. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 7. He said, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. He said, the reason why, because with him is the arm of the flesh. He's depending on his own might. He's depending on the size of his army. He's depending on how many horses he had. He's depending on how many archers he had. He's depending on the wisdom and the strategy of his generals. With him is the arms of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. That's part of my responsibility. Some of y'all think I'm just up here talking hype to you all the time. That's part of my responsibility as your spiritual leader. That when you walk up in here, I got to let you know everything gonna be all right. It's part of my responsibility to tell you there's more with us than with them. Come on, it's part of my responsibility to let you know that goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. It's part of my responsibility to let you know that no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Every time I get up here, it's part of my responsibility to remind you that the blood still works, and his blood is over you, and his blood is over your family, and his blood is over your property. Ah, glory to God. It's part of my responsibility to remind you that if God be for us, who can be against us? Look to your neighbor and say, Bishop is doing his job. He's just doing his job. I know some of y'all get tired of it, but every time I come before you, I know you're in a battle. I know the devil's been messing with you. But it's my job to tell you to look the devil in the face and tell him, I ain't scared of no ghosts. Satan, we gonna tear your kingdom down. So Hezekiah does his job. And the Bible said, and they rested themselves in the words of Hezekiah. Now it got to Sennacherib that Hezekiah got the people all calmed down because he wanted the people to fear. Can I tell you, the main thing that the devil wants you to do is fear. Because when fear comes in, faith goes out. And when faith comes in, fear goes out. Faith and fear cannot exist in the same space. Either full of faith or you're full of fear. That's why, when God, he would perform miracles, the angels would show up. Before he even gave the message, first he said, fear not. God appears to Mary, fear not. God appears to Joseph, fear not. Joshua's a warrior. Angel Lord appears before Joshua. Joshua pulls his sword and says, hey, you with us or you against us? And the angel says, fear not, I'm on the Lord's side. Chill out. God has not given us the spirit of fear. That word fear means timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. Come on, as long as you stay in faith, you can think your way clear. Come on, I'm telling you, because I know, I told you, I had a couple things happen to me one time, and it got overwhelmed and almost fainted. Because when fear comes in, you start dreading. When fear comes in, you see the worst. When fear comes in, you don't see how you can get out. Oh, but when faith arises, my God, the endless possibilities come in your mind about what God can do and how he gonna do. When faith arises, you say, I don't know what he gonna do, but he gonna do something. I don't know how he gonna come in, but he gonna come in. I don't know how he gonna turn around, but he gonna come around. I'm just looking because I don't know. At any minute now, something gonna happen. At any minute, the money gonna show up. He gonna raise up somebody somewhere, use their power, their ability, their influence. Come on, somebody say, let faith arise. Let faith arise. So Sennacherib hears that the people in faith. So Sennacherib, he sends his angel. He sent his servants to Jerusalem. Okay. While he's fighting and conquering another nation, he said, let them know they next. And he sends his servants unto Hezekiah and unto Judah. And verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 32, verse 10 says, then thus said Sennacherib to the king of Assyria. He says, wherein do you trust? That you abide in the siege in Jerusalem? He said, ain't y'all ready? Y'all just need to be ready to fight. At least try to fight. Verse 11. He said, doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine or thirst? He said, don't y'all listen to Hezekiah. Don't y'all listen to your pastor. He said, don't y'all believe when he telling you that the Lord our God shall deliver us out of your hand, out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Verse 12, he said, is not this same Hezekiah? Ain't this the one who took down all the high places and the altar? He thought because it looked like y'all got less gods now. Y'all used to have gods all around the land. He said, but now this Hezekiah, he set y'all up. Because y'all got rid of all these other altars and all these other gods. He said, didn't he tell y'all to take down the high place and his altar? And he commanded Judah and Jerusalem saying, you shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it. What he didn't realize is that they had the right one, baby. Look, somebody say, one will do if you got the right one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One will do if you got the right one. Glory to God. Some of y'all brothers, you're trying to juggle two and three women. One will do if you get the right one. And if you get the right one, can I tell you, you can't afford no other because her price is far above rubies.
You ain't got nothing left.
See, the reason why you got, the reason why you're juggling two and three, because they're cheap. When you got one whose price is above rubies, you're like, everything I got is yours, baby. My daughter was telling us last week, and these young ladies, and I want to educate our young ladies here, they use this term tricking today. Tricking used to be a bad word that prostitutes did. Now, they call them tricking, meaning that they got men paying for their stuff. So my daughter was saying, she said, Dad, she said, it's hard on some of these young guys out here today. And the reason why some of them are so many doing illegal stuff and getting in drugs, because the cute girl with the weave telling them, if you want me, you got to buy me some Peruvian weave. You got to pay for my nails. You got to pay for my toes. And these brothers still getting allowance. If they're getting that, and to try to get these cute fake girls. I don't mean no harm, y'all. I'm so glad I got mine when I got her. Because I saw what I had. Now you got to look real close. Those really your eyes? Those really your eyelashes? Is that your hair? You got wig and weave? I don't mean no harm, y'all. Got to look real close. I know you say they're yours, but why one bigger than the... No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Come on, God, get back to the word. You need to get your money back. They messed you up. I don't know how I got on that. Y'all, for somebody in one of these sections. He thought because they are now worshiping one God that now he has the advantage over them. And so Sennacherib says in verse 13, he said, know you not what I and my father have done to all the other people of the other lands? He said, weren't the God of those nations, of those lands, anyways able to deliver the people out of my hand? He said, you need to know who we are. You need to know what we've done. He said, then who was there among all those gods of those nations that my fathers didn't utterly destroy? Who was there that could deliver those people out of my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand? But he didn't know that there's no God like Jehovah God. There's no God like Yahweh. There is no one as mighty as El Shaddai. Glory to God. Who is this God? He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Who is the King of glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. So he says in verse 15, he said, don't you let Hezekiah deceive y'all to persuade you in this matter that you believe him. For no God of any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver any of these nations out of my hand and out of the hand of my father. How much less shall your God deliver you out of my hand? And his servant spake more, verse 16, and his servant spake yet more against the Lord and against his servant Hezekiah. They even wrote letters. They put it in print. Verse 17 said, railing on our God, mocking Jehovah God, railing and making fun of the God of Israel. They're speaking against him. He said, the other gods of other nations have not been able to deliver us, and the God of Hezekiah will not be able to deliver. And then they started really mocking him. They started talking in Hebrew. In verse 18, they said in the Jews' voice in Hebrew, railing on them, trying to frighten them and trouble them, that they might take the city. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem and against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of man. Now, it's one thing. It wouldn't just been bad that they talked against Hezekiah. I believe you ought to respect the man of God. Amen. touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. There was a time that people would respect men of God. Amen. And women of God. I told y'all, but I found out years ago that that went out the window. Young lady in our church, she's married now and got a husband, takes care of her and takes care of their children. And but at the time, she was a teenager in our church. One of my daughters here in the church, and she needed a vehicle, and her father wasn't around. And so she had it, and so she was going to get this little car down the street from our offices. And I said, well, let me go check out the car. She had already given him $2,000. Car going to be like $3,000 or so. She had given him $1,000. She's supposed to come back and take the car. And so I said, well, let me go down there. I went down there to see the car. I said, well, I'm here. I'm her pastor, you know, Pastor Bailey. He said, well, he was real nice at first. And he said, I said, I just want to check out the car that you want. You know, getting my daughter here, and I went to start the car. The car wouldn't hardly start. So I started getting, and then it finally started, and smoke blowing out. And then I look, it got a couple hundred thousand miles on it. And it's a little car. And I said, now, I don't suggest that she buy this car. I said, if anything, you would have to give it to her for what she's already given you. But I really don't recommend. He said, oh, no, we got a car. She won't get this car. I said, I'm not recommending she get this car. So he said, listen, let me tell you something. I don't care about you being no preacher. He said, you wait right here. I got something for you. You wait right here. And when he came back out, I was gone. Because he told me, he said, I'm going to put a cap in your aspirin. Look, your neighbor said, he said, Pastor said aspirin. Now, some of y'all would have been like, you man of God. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When I saw that man didn't care nothing about me being a preacher, he didn't care nothing about my aspirin. Are y'all hearing me here? So by the time he came out, I was gone. Because I saw he had no respect for me. And there was a time even when people didn't respect man, they at least had a respect for God. Sennacherib said, I don't care nothing about Hezekiah. I don't care nothing about your God. And it would be one thing if he just challenged Hezekiah. But he challenged God. And God was probably just letting him get away talking about Hezekiah. But when he said, who is this God? God said, you talking about me? Now, the enemy got God's attention. See, the eyes of the Lord for the righteous roam the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. But when you get on the wrong side of God, the eyes of the Lord roam the whole earth, looking to show himself strong against those who are against him. In other words, God will defend his own name. So, when we think you need to fight for God, defend for God, take up for God, you don't have to, because when God is challenged, he will defend himself. He will defend himself. See, what they didn't realize, the reason why Hezekiah could speak with such confidence is because the king was also in partnership with the man of God. Can I tell you something? I don't care what position you were in life. Let me go deeper here for a moment. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how much money you have. You need a man of God in your life. You need a man and a woman of God in your life. See, you need, you know what I'm saying? Y'all see that commercial with a guy doing a tattoo? He said, you've done this before? He said, he said, aren't you supposed to draw this first? He says, stay in your lane, bro. Stay in your lane, bro. I know you're smart, but you got to still stay in your lane. Come on. I'm not saying it with any pride. I'm saying this with fact. There's a lane I'm in, you're not in. Oh, come on now. There's a lane that I'm in, that there's a perspective that I have that you're not going to have. Miriam and Aaron didn't understand that about Moses. Miriam started talking to Aaron, and we see Aaron. Aaron probably, he was a jellyback. Aaron didn't know how to stand up and say, no, you're wrong. We ain't going to do that. He went along with whatever people said. And so Miriam started saying, you think the Lord only speak to Moses? We prophets and prophets too. He speak to all of us. He ain't the only one to hear from God. And Aaron was like, And God had struck Miriam with leprosy. Notice Aaron didn't get judged. I believe God could have mercy on him just because he just sat and listened. And God spoke to Miriam and said, you need to understand. You need to be careful how you talk about Moses. He said, yeah, I'll speak to you with dreams and visions. He said, but you don't have the same lane, the position that Moses has. With him, I speak face to face. You got to understand, based upon rank in the kingdom, there's different conversations. This ain't something I'm making up. This is how God has ordered things. And so, you know, I feel sorry for y'all. Oh, I'm going to go deeper here. When you don't deserve who I am. When I see people, you know, really, my heart goes out for you. When I see you, particularly when you know better, and we've had a relationship, and you've been here for years, but you decide now you're going to disregard me as your man of God. Disregard and disrespect. I want God's best for you, but I know the order of God. Oh, come on now. And there is the blessing of the Lord, but then there's also the backhand of God. And there's sometimes, it's not that God is cursing you. God just takes his hands off you. Come on now. And the Bible says, because of David's anointing, all those that were in debt, all those that were in distress, and all those that were discontented, they came and made him captain over him. And by the, you keep reading their story. They got out of debt, they got out of distress, and they got out of discontentment because they connected themselves with somebody that God was raising up. Come on. See, you have to discern who you are. When the Bible says, I don't know why I'm here, wait, but when the Bible says, know them that labor among you. Now, people use that generally like, you need to know who on the choir. You need to know who work in your ministry. Read the context. It said, when it said, know them that labor among you, it's talking about knowing your man of God and those who teach you the word. Know them after the spirit of God. And then he says this. He says, Paul says, don't try to judge me by the flesh, because henceforth we judge no man by the flesh. And what can happen... in a church like this, with somebody like me and Pastor Marsha, because we laugh and we joke and we get close, you can lose the reverence for the anointing. Heard Bishop Jake say one time, he had somebody on his staff and he got an invitation to preach in China, Japan or something. And Bishop Jake said, no, you can't go because you had used all your vacation time and during this time, I need you here. He said, that brother responded and told Bishop Jakes, he said, I don't need you. As a matter of fact, in 3 years, I'll be you. Can you imagine? I'd be like, I know lightning about to hit here somewhere. But know what happened to that young man? He got too close. He got too close. One of my spiritual sons, when he heard I was becoming bishop, he said, I'm so glad you come, bishop. That means now it's going to happen quicker for me. I'm like, you totally missing this. Y'all, I don't have time to go there. You are totally missing this. Can I tell you, there's a time you need to enjoy the distance. You need to enjoy the distance. Remember, oh, why am I here, Lord? Those boys' mother came and said, Jesus, when you come to your kingdom, then let my sons be your vice president and secretary of state. One on your left side, one on the right. Jesus' first question was, before he really gave a real answer, he said, can you drink of the cup that I drink from? He said, you know not what you ask. Enjoy the distance. Pastor Marcel and I, we were talking, I don't know why I'm here, honey. Pastor Marcel, we were talking about this yesterday. What can happen? I can hang around Sean all the time in rehearsal and be around him so much that I think I can do that run just like that. Yeah, I can do that. And the more I hang around him, the easier it may look like it is to do. And sometimes people hang around somebody and say, you think you can mimic what they do. But can I tell you, you can mimic what people do, but you can never mimic who they are. Come on now. You can mimic what people, you can never mimic who they are. Which is why I walk in a certain confidence where I'm never threatened. Because I know what God has done in my life and where he's placed me and where he put me.
Sometimes our challenges seem bigger than us. Those times are when the enemy is trying to challenge God. God will not allow the devil to make show of him. When you feel that what you're going through is too hard, Bishop Herbert Bailey reminds us that God is fighting for us. Order this powerful two-part series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for When God is Challenged.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.